Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you for joining me on yet another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I am so excited. I'm excited because this is a very special show. Certain shows mean more than me to me than other shows. I don't know why, and it's not really fair to everyone, but this show is a very special show because it is my TGIF episode. And I always tell people, and oops, I didn't tell the guests today, but you don't want to be on my Monday show or on my Friday show. Mondays, I had way too much sleep. Fridays, I haven't had enough sleep. So we'll see what happens on today's show. But before I go ahead and introduce our first guest, I'm going to ask you to do what I ask you to do weekdays at 8 a.m. every day. And that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. I know there's someone somewhere who needs to hear this show. They're trying to start a business. They're trying to grow their business, brand their business, trying to make money, raise capital, and they need this information. Our guests are here today to share with you, and we want you to share it with them. So while you're sharing, I'll go ahead and introduce our first guest. And this guest, I am so excited. So excited. I think people think I'm always excited, but I am very excited this morning to introduce our first guest who I finally get to talk to about his business, his book, his life. We've been friends for, I don't know how many years. We've been friends for years, the kind of Facebook friends that talk all the time. Every time I make a post, this gentleman shares that he's been supporting me and rooting for me a long time before most people even heard about me. And that's the kind of friends you need. But while I am oohing and eyeing about who he is, I want to go ahead and give you some of his background for Mr. Nate Green Sr. He is a former indie record label CEO, entrepreneur, and published author. He has went from growing up in poverty to becoming a well-known brand. His brand is Skrilltown MO, is an artist management and consulting company along with Skrilltown Clothing, a subsidiary of Skrilltown MO LLC. Good morning, Nate. How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing? I'm doing good.
I'm just excited to meet you. Like, I feel like
I know
I get to meet him.
It's been a while. Yeah, I'm glad, glad that we're able to meet too, and like I said, I'm excited about the book, 15 Mindset Secrets from Inspiring Entrepreneurs. And Sharifa actually is in the book because she gave you a review. You made the book. So her review is actually in the book. A lot of people don't know about me. I took a 13-year hiatus to get back into business to pursue a career outside of music. But before then, I had an indie label by the name of Royalty Mob Records, where we produced, brought out different acts. We brought out different albums from 2002 to 2007. We were doing, tours. We were just doing a little bit of everything. But, I ended up taking a backseat and pursuing a life outside of music. And then when I decided in 2020 that music was still my passion, then, I got back in it little by little. It took a while because things have evolved. They've changed. A lot of things that I used to do and how we made music, how we sold music has all changed. Technology is different now and it's a lot more advanced. It's a lot more easier to do.
Is that why you wrote the book? I mean, and I want to go back to the book, not just because I'm in it, because it's not all about me, but let's get back to me. But I know you're passionate about the book. And when I read it, I was like, you know what? I think this is information that the world needs to hear. And if memory serves me correctly, you kind of thought about doing a book or what your next step is before you actually said, okay, you know what? Let me actually do it.
Well, and it's funny because I had the ideal of a book a long time ago, but I needed guidance. So I reached out on Facebook and I found you. You were the first person that actually motivated me to go ahead and do the book because people had told me, about doing the book. And they said, and I've seen a couple people's books, and I didn't agree with how they made their books. But me and you had an hour-long conversation, probably about 6 months ago, and you just told me how to do it. You said, look, if you're gonna do it, do it. Do it now. You was like, don't wait, because I wanted to wait for some reason. I was like, yeah, I'll just wait, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you were the one that motivated me to do the book, because after I got off the phone with you, I talked to my wife, and I was like, man, she made it sound so easy. And after that, you know, the rest was history. And the book is actually international number one bestseller on Amazon. So you can pick it up if you go on my page. It's scannable. You know, we're excited. It's 15 authors in the book. I'm the head author of this edition, but there's other editions out there. Yeah, it was good, but it tells a story about how I came up in the projects, single parent, mother working three jobs, being raised by all women, having a stepdad that unfortunately has passed away. I'm actually going to his funeral today, but he had a life in prison. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. He did 25 years in the penitentiary. But he also showed me the good, bad, and the ugly, what not to do, you know, what to do. And then I had other people around me that helped out, you know, that I, you know, thank for being there for me, because if it wasn't for them, who knows what would have happened in my life. I don't know where I would be. I can't even guess. I wouldn't even want to say where I could be. So yeah, and then on top of that, you know, it goes into how I started my label, how I started my management company, how I got my, I got a deal this year with Sony Orchard, distribution deal for 3 years for all my artists that come along on the label. So all our music will be distributed by Sony Music.
Congratulations. That is huge. And you know what, Nate, I do remember that conversation. And the thing is, like you said, we spoke for about an hour. And often what happens is, and you know, obviously you didn't know that, and nobody knows this, because when I get off the phone, I usually say to myself, I'm like, you know what? I hope that wasn't a waste of an hour. You know, and it may seem petty, you know, it may seem, but it's like, so often it's like you see so much in other people. You're like, tell that story, write that book, get out there. And then, you know, I always believe that there are cemeteries full of million-dollar ideas, which basically means that people take them to the grave. No matter what I say, no matter what I do, it's up to them. And so when you came back and I saw the book cover and I saw that it was live, I was like, oh my God, I'm so happy he went ahead and did it. Now, I will come back to you, Nate, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, she is so amazing. Like I said, on this show, one of the things that I love to do is when I have personal friends or people that I email with every day. And I think our next guest is one of my daily emailers. We email on a daily basis about so many different things. She's been very helpful, caught some of my mistakes on different projects. But I love having the presenters who will be at the New Year, New You 2-day teleconference on December 29th with us. And I have one young lady who is going to be presenting. She's going to talk a little bit about what she's going to talk about at the panel. But let me introduce Madeline Weiss. She is a board certified executive career life coach, blogger, podcast, guest expert, co-author, and handbook of stressful transition across the lifespan. She has written for the National Psychologist, Across Species Comparisons, and so much more. Good morning, Madeline. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. And Nate, I'm sorry for your loss.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And you're here today, Nate, too. That's one of the things that I appreciate. With everything going on, most people, I think, would have just flaked.
Yeah. And congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
Okay.
Back to you.
Back to me.
We get to meet emails constantly, but we're here today.
Yeah. So would you like me to talk about myself at this point?
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, why you do what you do, and why you love me. I just threw that in, but go ahead.
I do love you. And I am going to start with my why.
Okay.
Because I think it says so much about me. I was kind of mouthy, speaking truth to power, which was my dad, a lot as a young child, and spent most of my childhood grounded for that. And when I was 15 years old, my father died suddenly of a stroke.
Sorry and to hear that.
Yeah. And because I was such a feisty little thing, I went for numbers of years thinking that he died of me, until one day my mother, in her shining moment as a mom, said, "No, honey, it wasn't you, it was work." Mm-hmm. So now I have spent a lifetime of education and experience learning how to help high achievers master their minds so that they can have more hours in the day, more peace of mind, more freedom and fulfillment, maintaining that high performance without burning out. And what I found is that a great life depends on a great fit between who we are and the environments in which we work and live, which is the first line of my book that's coming out in March. So
I'm excited. What day in March is it coming out?
Well, they said March 10th. I hope it's March 10th. We'll see.
I think the 31st of March would be a really good release date. I think because it's the end of the month and you have the full month, and that's my birthday. So I just think that day is just like the best day for your book. I don't know why.
Well, the next time I talk to the publisher, I'll tell him that it's your birthday. So, yeah.
Now, Madeline, one of the things that you said, and I'm really curious about, is this whole idea of high achievers and what specifically that means. Because I kind of joke sometimes, but I tell people I'm 44 years old, and if ADHD would have existed when I was a child, they would have prescribed me with everything, because I was that child, got all my work done, got it all done correctly, but I got it done so quickly that now I want to talk to everybody and, you know, have a wonderful time instead of sitting in my seat. So probably that was me.
So the tree wants to grow, the bird wants to fly, and so do we, some more than others. And the ones who are just bursting with this energy to grow and to fly, I think are the ones that I'm talking about. And sort of what gets in the way in their trajectory is that so many are pretty gifted and talented, and people see that in them and then have all kinds of ideas for them about what they should be doing with their lives. By the time they come to me, they're looking to find out who they are, what makes them tick, what gets in the way, so that they can grow and they can fly into these happier, healthier, productive lives. There are often lots of people counting on them, whether it's their employees or their families or their communities. So I'm thinking of when I worked at Harvard Medical School for 13 years, and I was asked every year to speak before the first year class of medical students. And when I asked them to fall still and I'd look out on this sea of otherwise usually very stressed faces and see that peace and see that calm, I thought to myself, my God, when I think of all the lives, each one of them is going to touch in the course of their personal and professional lives. It just was stunning to me to be able to lay hands on in that way. And then that passes on and passes on and passes on. So that's what I live for. I always say, if I can save one little girl or boy's mommy or daddy or anyone at all from the stress they impose on themselves, from what was earlier imposed on them, I'm doing good. So
I thought you were going at the end. It was like that powerful moment. You were like, if I can save one person, then my life, my living has not been in vain. I'm too dramatic. I don't know, but that's just me. I'll come back to you.
Well, I have two children and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 grandchildren. So my life's not in vain no matter what, right?
Beautiful. Well said. I can't wait to be a grandma. It's so beautiful. I can't keep telling my kids that. I love it. I want to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest whose passion is a little bit like yours, Madeline. She is what many call Terry, the work-life lady. So she helps people have a balance in their work and their life. So when you feel like you're easily triggered at work, or maybe there's something going on at work, you can contact Terry. Maybe you're taking advantage of at work. Terry, the work-life lady, will help you. Good morning, Terry. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I'm doing well. And it was interesting to hear Madeline, and I could resonate with what she's saying. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners out there can too. And I worked in human resources for 30 years, and I found over and over that professional women were just not, their confidence was not aligned with their competence. We're all looking at these individuals and thinking, wow, they really have it together. And inside that, their beliefs, their boundaries, their buttons were not aligned with their brilliance. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to work with women for them to stop doing the impossible for the ungrateful. And so,
yes, say that again, Terry. I got to cut you off, Terry. I need you to say that again.
Okay. Stop doing the impossible for the ungrateful.
Yes, I'm gonna have to post that. I'm gonna be like, Terry the work lady said, stop doing the impossible for the ungrateful. Amen. We have in church today, I tell you. Share the show. Go ahead, yes. Terry.
So the women that were first coming to me, obviously I was the human resources manager and I was working with them to get them in alignment. And they were, like Madeline said, she spoke truth to power. But I found more people, instead of saying their truth, were actually mute. Mm-hmm. And so what I wanted to do is to give them a voice. And I found that I was spending so much time on benefits and compliance. And I knew that my truth was really helping women speak their truth and really align what they wanted to do, who they were, with what they did. And so the women that started coming to me in my coaching program, we really worked on curing the critical colleague crap. And so really though—
Okay, I gotta stop you again, Terry. Okay. You got some good ones, Terry. Okay. Come on now, preach to the audience. Say that again.
Okay, cure the critical colleague crap.
Cure the, that's like a tongue twister, you know what I mean? That's Pratt or something, I don't even know. But
I love my alliterations.
I know. I'm gonna have to call you to speak sometime for some of the things I have going on.
Like, what would Terry say? New year, new you.
I'm sorry. I'm just distracted.
I love it. So, anyways, and I found that when we were working on that critical colleague, you really don't have a lot of control over what a critical colleague does. You really have control over yourself, so your beliefs, your boundaries, your buttons. So you have to fix that first. And then you move into making them feel safe. Because if you can get your critical colleague to feel safe through, you know, recognizing their competence, that they're admired, they're favored, then and only then can you work on how they treat you. And that's through awareness and motivation and ability. And so as I did that, I also found that women, I was really into the fix it. So I really found now that I'm either fixing it, we're quitting it, or we're gigging it. And in the gig, what was happening is people were like, I just don't like my job. And then we would work.
Okay, so looks like we are going to have more information from Terry. Don't know if we had a little technical difficulties there, but I'm going to come back to Terry. And I'm going to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And like I said earlier, what happens on the show is somehow, some way, it all comes together. I don't pick the dates the guests appear. The guests appear on the days they are most comfortable. And somehow, some way, it just comes together. Because our next guest, Ms. Courtney Smith, is a professionally trained and experienced life coach from Transformation Academy, We have the tools and understanding to help you to live your best life. As a licensed insurance agent, she helps to make wise decisions to plan for the known and unknown financial expectations on the journey. Good morning, Courtney. How are you? Are we having technical difficulties today? Because I see Courtney's mouth moving, but that's all. Is anybody with me today?
I can't hear. I can see her, but I can't hear.
Okay. Courtney, I heard you this morning, though. We were talking. We were having a great conversation. Okay, so we're going to work on Courtney. We're going to wait on Terry, and we're going to talk to Dave. How about that? Right. How about that? I'll pull it together. We are going to introduce our next guest, and then we're going to bring all the ladies back. Our next guest is Mr. Dave Cole. Dave provides strategy and technology solutions for real estate professionals and investors, as well as for small business owners. Most recently, he developed the marketing plan for bringing virtual reality tours and interactive virtual staging to real estate. This is in addition to creating fresh custom content for social media and blogs, websites and webinars, and providing market research and feasibility studies. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Morning. I'm doing very well this morning. So we've got a good group here. Hope everybody can get back, and nice to be with you. So, you know, that's kind of the, you know, the technical introduction, and I do work a lot with real estate agents and investors. And just to explain what is interactive virtual staging and what is all this, it's actually to help properties get sold or rented, often before they're even completed. So it's kind of everybody benefits in this, builders and real estate agents and lenders and people associated with the sale, and ultimately the consumer. What the tech team does is they take from floor plans or blueprints of a property, sketches, sometimes even enhanced photos, and they create, you've all seen renderings, like here's what this new building is going to look like. And that's kind of what they do, but it's a whole like continuous virtual reality where it's done to scale. There's furniture, the room looks to be the size it's going to be, they'll put the exact view in, and it's a recreation because it's done from the blueprints or floor plans. The property doesn't even have to be built yet. And so it can be converted into an online tour. You can use like virtual reality goggles or a headset. And if you've got the headset on, you can actually walk around and you think you're walking around in the property. You turn to the right and there's the kitchen, and you can press the clicker and move into the middle of the kitchen. And then there's things like we put color choice panels in there, or patterns. So if you're looking at the kitchen and you say, oh, that's a white wall, I don't really like that, click, now it's in light blue, but everything in the room maintains the same thing. You can change the carpet, now we've got where you can change fixtures, even choices of furniture. So as a consumer, you want to look at a house without even having to go there. You can see exactly, and not that you don't want to go there, but as an introduction, you can see exactly what it's going to look like. And now you think, oh, I'd really like to have the walls be painted lighter, or I have this type of furniture, how would that look in this room, and really be able to experience it. And again, it's for the, you know, builders. It helps the real estate agents to be able to sell the properties quicker or even before they're ready, and saving people, you know, the opportunity to travel. And especially now with, in addition to the pandemic, but even for seniors. And I just saw an article this morning, some more research showing that there's more of the baby boomers that have retired in the last 2 years than ever before. And so they need to have housing, and some of them traveling isn't that easy, or they're not able to walk. So this is a way we could put the headset on and push them in the wheelchair to see, can they negotiate? Can they reach what's on shelves? So there's a lot of things that we're working on, and it's a lot of fun. And I also do help with some social media and property proposals and things like that. But the interesting thing and what makes it kind of relevant to our conversation, Sharifa, is that it's the technology. It doesn't have to be specific to real estate. So we've met the team, for example, with a logistics company where they have to unload or load trucks with different sizes and shapes of equipment. And instead of having to take the time to have a truck come in and all this equipment, to do it by virtual reality where somebody can put a headset on and walk around and see where it reaches, and we can have it moving and show the action, and it's this whole advanced thing, so they can use it for training for employees or on construction.
It's interesting. I like it. It's a whole new world that just opened up. And I think that so many people have expanded their creativity just because of this global pandemic. One of the guests that I had on the show who does real estate as well, because I asked him the question, because he was talking about his virtual tours. Would he go back to doing more in-person tours after the you know, after everything opens up? And he said, Sharifa, I don't know if I will. He said, because I have been so much more successful. I made so much more money during this time frame because I was able to show more properties. I could show them all virtually as opposed to driving around all day, waiting for somebody to show up. You need this person, we can't move. This house is over here, that house is over there. So what you're adding is just a beautiful addition to what people are already doing. Now, I want to come back to you, Dave. I'm hoping, I'm going to pray, and I'm have faith that we got Courtney Smith back with us. Courtney, are you with us?
I am with you. Can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am. You got to have faith. You got to do. Yeah. Even when I cannot see, I have faith that Courtney was going to be with us today. Good morning. How are you?
Step out and try it again.
Good morning.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. And as you were talking about, we are perfectly aligned right now in this time. I am a grief and a loss coach. And what that means is we need to stop chasing normalcy. A lot of us are spending our whole life chasing normalcy. And really what COVID, the pandemic, brought to us is that we're all going to have to embrace our now and the newness that God has in us. It's like you're saying, you have to expand. You have to see the vision within you. So I think when we think about grief and loss, we only think about physical death. But it is so many people who are grieving in the marketplace, what they've lost in their normalcy. It's so many people grieving just that normal space that they need to speak to someone, how to get that formula. How can we embrace our new now? And a lot of people have, you know, trended that topic, new now. But I've been using new now for the last 4 or 5 years. So that is something that we've always spoken about at the Relationship Service Station. Because we get caught up in traditions, we get caught up in beliefs, we get caught up in other people's expectations of us. And when we do that, we limit ourselves to that little box of what people call normal. And and if we all know, I already got faith back there, so y'all know I'm gonna give you a little bit of God today. God made us all unique, so there's no such thing as normal. We are all created to be unique. We are all created to bring something else. We are all created with a different passion and purpose. And when we embrace that, we know that we got to break out of what we call this normalcy. So a lot of people saw it as the pandemic, but what it really was is a stretching of God to say, hey, I'm going to bring you back close to me so I can help you get to where it is that I wanted you to go in the beginning. And of course, a lot of us are going through pain. We're struggling, we're stretching because God is bringing us to something new. We're not getting to show up to a 9-to-5 on regular, but God told us that was where we were supposed to be anyway. It's opening up opportunities for people to work at home. It's opening up for people opportunities to stretch their mind. So we sit as grief and life coaches, helping people to plan for the now and the later, that stretch in the middle that God is always telling us to do. That's why we got licensed as insurance agents, so we can plan for the now and the later. A lot of us miss that component of our life planning, our life after our losses. How do we actually put those platforms in place? And seeing that this is, I'm a half of the business because me and my husband joined together. So saying all that, I'll tell you a little bit about our story. We both lost our spouses same year, same month.
Oh, wow. Wow.
8 months later, we were introduced to each other. And then 45 days after that introduction, we got married.
Oh, wow. How long you been married?
We have been married now 8 years.
Congratulations. Congratulations. 8 years,
so we are in our new beginnings. Yes, indeed. God is doing something different for our business and transitioning and pivoted also in this pandemic season because we're having to do a lot of more things virtual. So it's opened us up to this virtual coaching space that is out there now as well and setting up platforms for people to go live with us. So we have different healthy grief conversations with people. So you can run on that hashtag, and that is our hashtag, Healthy Grief Conversations. You put it out there, you will find various messages, interviews, everything that go in that to help you process and embrace your new now. So that is what we take you on that journey and walk you through. And I like to call myself a grief guide because I'm guiding you through your own and unique individual grief. A lot of people say, oh, well, these are the 5 steps, the 6 steps, the 8 steps. But the thing is, each of us are different. It's a continuous process. And actually, every last one of us here on the round table, we are actually grieving something differently all the time because every day we're experiencing something that did not go our way.
Yes, absolutely. And I think we experienced it today. We had all kind of technical issues, people out, people, you know, so we just, again, have to have a little faith and keep going. And then guess what? Everybody comes back. I want to go back to Terry, who we were talking to, Dave, we talked to Courtney a little bit, and then we want to go back to Terry, who's also a coach. What did you think of what Courtney had to say, Terry?
Well, yes, I agree that everybody is grieving, especially in this day and age, and I didn't get to hear much of what she had to say because I was, you know, not on, but I think that everybody needs a grief guide. And certainly someone who has gone through the grief that she has gone through and her husband has gone through, I think she probably would be ideal for a lot of women and men out there.
Yes. But I think, you know, one of the things that I think a couple of people mentioned, even Nate early on, is just the times that we were going in. When we speak about, or that we're living in, when we speak about grief, one of the things that happened to me and that kind of brought it to my attention was I had a guest on the show. His business closed as a result of this global pandemic. And he was talking about it. You could feel, like I'm telling you, you could literally feel the pain in his voice because he was saying, Sharifa, you know, I can retire. He said, you know, literally I'm set for life. But what hurt him the most was he said he's had his business for over 40 years. He said his kids are like 18, 19. So he's known most of his employees for over 40 years. He had teams of people who have been with him and now he'll never see these people again. You know, sometimes you try to do lunch, try to catch dinner, catch a movie, stay in touch. But your life on a daily basis, the way it was, the what you're used to, that is all gone. And so people had to grieve that in different ways. Nate, that's one of the things that you talked about is this, not only losing your stepfather, but there's this process for you of everything that you went through to get to where you are today. But I'm sure you had to grieve some things and let some things go to get here.
Yeah, it was a lot of thick skin. Like I said, I was raised by 4 women, my grandmother, my mother, my aunt, Baby Jean, and my aunt, Vanita. And they all kind of taught me that, yeah, in order to be strong and go through these tough times when you're grieving and such things like that, you just have to have tough skin. But, you know, it's not one of those things that ever goes away. You know, with my stepdad, he taught me certain things in life that back, you know, when I was younger, I'm like, what is this dude talking about? You know, you're a kid and it's like, you don't understand it. But then eventually now as an adult, you know, 40 plus years old, I completely understand what he was teaching me. And I know that now it makes a lot more sense because had he not taught me those things, then I probably would have been behind prison walls, you know, who knows? So yeah, the grieving process, you know, I'm happy that he's in a better place, But at the same token, yeah, you grieve a certain way. And Courtney said, we're grieving every day about something. Something's always bothering us. I completely understand that. Yeah.
Madeline, for you, part of your passion is helping other people, helping mm-hmm. them. And so they may be going through some of these processes. And like, again, we talked about Nate, him actually going out there and taking the steps to write his book and publish his book. But sometimes we need someone such as yourself to be with us during that process. How do you work with people?
So two things. I want to respond to the grief issue very quickly. And then I would like to actually address what you just asked. Nate, you said that it never goes away. So it's been many years since I was 15, and I couldn't agree with you more that it never goes away, but it does or can morph. Right. So this idea that what was once considered by me painful, mm-hmm. now the visits, I like to call them, really bring warmth to my heart. So it's a completely different experience that morphed over time. To Courtney's point that we are all so different, not very long ago, I said to myself, on your question, I said to myself, these people that I'm helping, that I'm working with, are all so different. Age, gender, ethnicity, occupation, you name it. They're all over the continuums of these things. So I said, background is just as diverse. Psychotherapy background, a business background, then I morphed into coaching because I like the future forward action orientation more than the insight-oriented psychotherapy. So I said to myself, okay, self, I know you think it's an art and you just have to know when to pull out the right tool from the great big toolkit, but what's actually working for these people? And I came up, Courtney, I know you don't like the five-step thing, but I came up with, honest to God, a five-step process that worked itself into the greatest acronym, which is the word great, G.R.E.A.T. And it's this five-step process that every single one of them journeyed through to get to their smile, no matter how different they were. So I wanted to throw that in there. All these things are kind of,
you can't just leave us with that. I know I'm sitting on the edge of my seat. Like, what is it? What is the G-R-E-A-T? Like, I need to know.
Okay, good. So the thesis is what I told you was the first line of the book. A great life depends on a great fit between who we are and the environments in which we live and work. So the G is for grounding.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
In the belief that it doesn't have to hurt like that. It doesn't have to be like that. And people come so stuck and so hopeless that they kind of really don't believe. They're not grounded in the belief that it can be different. They can't even imagine what could possibly be different. So that's the first step. But you don't want things to be different any old way. You want them to be in alignment for once.
Okay, hold on one moment, Madeline, because we got to get to the R-E-A-T. So I'm going to ask you to hold one moment because I like grounding, because I always feel when I'm not grounded. When I'm not grounded, I'm all over the place, and then my guests hate me. So let me get grounded for a minute.
No one could possibly hate you.
I know her, right?
No one could hate you. So the R is the recognizing who we are. Mm-hmm. That's the second thing.
Okay.
Once we do that, we can begin to explore for external environments that fit with who we are. First, we have to know who we are. So the E is for exploring, and then you can't just sit there dreaming about things because then nothing will happen. So A is for action. And then T is for the normal, natural, expectable, acceptable, predictable resistance to change. It's for tackling those things that will come up. I don't know if all of you know about the book, The Big Leap, where we all have an upper limit.
No, but I want to check it out. But I want to give Courtney a response, a chance. Sure. Because we talked about these steps and Courtney was smiling and laughing. We got the G-R-E-A-T. Courtney, no, it's a positive smile. Look at that smile. I mean, I'm just waiting to see what she has to say.
It was a beautiful smile. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, actually, Madeline, I think when you're saying steps, that's a process. Great is a process that you've created. When I talk about steps, I'm talking about like you can't go somewhere and say, okay, anger is going to get over at this certain phase. Then all of a sudden you're going to get through bitter. That's what I believe that there is, if you're a good coach, you put people through a specific process that works for you. And I mean, I have a process. I mean, I send people through the four R's, you know.
Which
so
are?
There are the four R's. So it is about actually releasing, rediscovering, reinventing, and then reintroducing yourself. And that's how you get to the new in that place. So it is, I mean, I believe there is a process, there is a particular formula. And when I say it's unique, because everybody's great is different.
Yes.
And that's why I say versus placing emotions, because you might never touch that emotion. And then if I don't get in that emotion, then you'll say I haven't fully developed or fully went through the process, because the relationship that I had never sent me through anger, or the relationship I had never sent me through, you know, bitterness. So if you go through that process, people say, oh, well, you didn't really process grief the way that you were supposed to. No, I just never felt that particular emotion. It didn't mean that I didn't process it. And like you're all saying, grief doesn't go away. That is one of the things I hate people when they say is, when are you going to get over it? I mean, yes. You know, just like you say, it's we've developed a way. And my thing is our response, the reaction becomes different as we process the grief in a different way.
Which is different.
Responding and reacting to grief in the same way you did when it happened 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Then you know, that is an issue, because I have clients who really have never grieved, because 20 years later on this anniversary, they're still having the same response and reaction. That means you have not grieved. That means you did not have that time. You have not moved on a grief journey. You are continuing to memorialize a day. Yep. And we set it up in our society that way. We make money and we manipulate people on memorials. And one of the biggest ones we do is 9/11. 9/11.
There's a lot of them. I agree.
Every year. We rip the Band-Aid off every year to remind people what it is we're supposed to be mourning for on this day. Instead of having a day of healing, every therapist, every coach, everybody should be on a virtual space helping people talk about what happened on that day. Instead of us remembering who was on floor so-and-so, instead of posting a picture, instead of going to the wall, there's nothing wrong with remembering people. But our response and our reaction on 9/11, we should be embracing and loving people and remembering not to take people for granted.
Yes. We're going to have some church in here today with you, Courtney, because I can tell, I don't know if you get moving, you get passionate. I love it. I'm going to be with you one moment, Madeline. I want to go over to Terry real quick, because we learned great. We learned the four R's. We were about to go to town on this Friday. I think Courtney may not, you know, I'm not even going to say it. Terry, we got great. We got four R's. What are some of the things that help you just be who you are?
Well, I have an acronym too, but before I get into that, we go through the beliefs, the boundaries, and the buttons, because we have to do an assessment. And I have a spreadsheet where they answer these questions. They get this wonderful chart, and then we have a workbook, and we work through all the different things so that they can kind of see where they're at. But for the critical colleague crap, the cure, first you connect with them, then you understand them, then you relate with them, and then you can exchange their behavior. But until you make them feel safe, they're going to be up in your face because, you know, they're just in a place where they're not, they need to pull people down rather than boost them up.
Yes. We're going to go over to Dave. Dave, how you feeling? Because we had some conversations going on right there. How you feeling, Dave?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. And this has been interesting. And it's something that without the coaching or psychology experience, but it's just something that I've been aware of. And it's probably from growing up an only child whose parents both worked and spending a lot of time on my own, and how that's actually helped me during the pandemic, because while it's getting nice being able to work from home and having it be so accepted, and, you know, it looks like those of us on here are mostly at home and nobody's even, you know, mentioned anything about it. And so there's a good side of not having the commute and the traffic and all that during the day. But it is, you know, and this brings it to mind about an element of coping with being on your own and getting your work done. And it's nice because even when you're working or at it, you can't really have the family members or the pets around, which you didn't have it, you know, when you were at work either. But then it's that, you know, you're by yourself. And so that's actually something for Zoom or even this type of a gathering. I mean, yes, here we are doing the presentation on Facebook Live, but it's also that when this is over, I will feel like, hey, I was talking to people, I was interacting, and that's a big part of it. And so I think that that's something that along the lines of, you know, Courtney's point about how we should remember 9/11, and that may be something that even as we continue in the pandemic to be aware of and kind of, you know, interact about what are things we can do to deal with working on our own. And it is formats of being able to be on Zoom. And I know some businesses are with coworkers, others are not, you're not seeing people. And so this might be kind of the, you know, the next thing to deal with. And I think it applies to some of us on the panel here as well.
I agree. And it's interesting for me because I have worked from home alone for years. And one of the things I talk about is the most difficult aspect for me was that I only went to work to have lunch. Like I had all these cool, you know, coworkers, and I wanted to find out what was going on in their life. I had to get the tea. I didn't necessarily go to work. So, you know, that's all I missed. So most people whose lives were turned up and down by COVID, my life is just basically the same unless I decide to go out and then I see all these masks and I remember, oh my God, like we are still in a global pandemic. Here in California, the governor just set all these rules for when we can go out because things are coming back up. So that's the difference for me. So I can definitely relate, but I want to go over to Madeline real quick. You had a comment and I just wanted to kind of shake up the conversation real quick.
Yeah, when we were talking about what we can do better in mm-hmm. terms of paying attention where attention is due and needed, I was thinking for all the parents out there, a funny little anecdote is that when I was 30 years old and I was in graduate school, I finally went into therapy for the death of my father that oh, had wow. happened 15 years earlier, and one of my professors looked at me and said, "My God, what happened? You look terrible." And I said, "My father died." And he said, "I'm so sorry. When did that happen?" And I said, 15 years ago. And my point is that as parents, sometimes we try to help by not making it worse, not bringing it up, not getting into the difficult feelings. And honestly, I think it might have been better had I been able to take that on a little earlier. So I was just responding to the 9/11 point. There's more and better we can do when we're mindful. So,
but I just wanted to ask a question about that though. When you said because you're mindful. To me, what I have found is a lot of times with grief, we don't understand that we need to grieve or that we're still grieving. Maybe the 15-year-old you didn't consciously realize that you thought, and this is just a guess, I'm not a therapist, I tell everybody I don't have a degree in anything, but maybe the 15-year-old you made that decision or determined that, but didn't actually realize it and just kind of operated through life that way until something brought it to the forefront or to your consciousness.
I had a guitar, a junior guitar at the time, and I used to make up songs like "Daddy's Gone Away and Left Me Crying" kind of a thing. And one of my girlfriends said to her father, "What should we do for her?" And he said, "Nothing. Leave her alone, she'll work it out." But I'm wondering, I always wonder if a little closer scaffolding, somebody being a little more in it with me as a child, might have facilitated the process sooner so that I would have been an earlier bloomer. I like the way I bloomed, but it came a little late. So
you know what is interesting? Y'all gonna have to come on back, because now I'm getting into this conversation. It's getting interesting. I want to talk. And we only have a few minutes left of the show, but I've been having this discussion like all the time now. It seems in 2020, I haven't met anyone who hasn't lost someone this year. I don't know why. I just launched my own, I partnered with a lady for Busy Girl Productions. We have our own production studio. It's in Los Angeles. We're producing our first television show. But this year, she lost her mother in May, very close to her mother. September, she lost her husband of 32 years. So it's just like everybody's been having loss. I have a good friend who I've known since we were kids in drill team, 9 years old. She had a heart attack, went into the hospital, flatlined twice, was basically out of it for 3 or 4 days, woke up to find that her husband passed away from a heart attack while she was in the hospital. And it's like all these things are happening. People are losing, you know, Nate just lost someone, you know, right now. So we have to find different ways to grieve. And one of the things that I learned is that, to your point, Madeline, and I'm way off and I'll probably go over today, so I apologize in advance. But for other people, too often we don't know what the person who's grieving or who has lost something wants. Some people want you to talk to them. They want to have that conversation about the person they lost. And then you have other people, if you mention it, they're like, I don't even want to talk about it. I can't handle it. It's too sensitive for me. So I think it's one of those fine lines. Because again, we had Courtney talking about 9/11, and there's so many comedians out now who say, you know what, when you mention slavery, it's like, forget about it. When you mention, you know, civil rights, don't think about that. That's a long time ago, but 9/11, never forget. So a lot of things, I think, come down to what's important or what's right for that person. Because the people, when you had the guitar, maybe they didn't know what to do or what to say. So I'll stop right there, because I will be here all weekend and I got plans, so I can't. But we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And I'm gonna start with you, Dave.
All right, thank you. It's been a pleasure to be on here. And it's, I think that the message is that to embrace the new technology and how it can help everyone, and also be aware of the adjustment that you're making in working from home and how you're caring about life, and not have it be something that you don't realize until 5 years from now. So not what I expected to be the final point, but I think that's a great takeaway from this discussion we've been having.
Maybe not what you expected, but I think it was an excellent point. Thank you, Dave. We're gonna go over to you, Terry.
Well, my strong belief is that everybody should be treated well at work. And 70% of individuals are highly disengaged at work. And I just don't think that that's where we should stay. And so one of the things that I'd like to invite you to do is go over to fixation.com, F-I-X-8-I-O-N.com. And there are 3 different assessments and workbooks for you: the belief, the boundary, and button. And there are They're completely free of charge. And if you sign up and give me your email address on there, then when my career clarity cleanse comes out, because everybody needs a good cleanse after Thanksgiving, I will send that to them as well. But I really learned a lot from this panel. I think that we all have the heart of servants, and that we want to serve others to be able to boost them up in this hard time. So thank you, Sharif, for letting me come in on, and I enjoyed talking with all of you.
You are so welcome. Thank you, Terry. Courtney, what do you have for us?
I wanted to close us out as let's use grief in a perspective. Do we want to be a victim, or do we want to have victory at the end? And I think a lot of times we make a decision to avoid things because we want to be a victim. You might not want to talk to the person who comes to you right then, but you're going to have to find somebody to talk to in order to find that victory within you. So it's a perspective, how we look at grief. Do we want to move past that victim mentality? So I'm kind of speaking to that little girl and little boy that's within all of us who are throwing tantrums with God. And I think that's what it is when we want to play victim. We're throwing tantrums with God. And so when we get to a place and say, hey, I'm going to just be obedient, God, it's going to be your will, your way, no matter how much it hurts, I'm going to grow up spiritually. I'm not talking about our age that all of us are here, but we're going to grow and develop in another spiritual way where we can be more in tune with God, what it is that he has for us. And when we are able to do that, we are able to say through anything, through any pain, I can find peace. And that is one of my things I stand on, release to have peace. Pain and peace at the same time can coexist. So if you want to find me, you can find me at therelationshipservicestation.com. And me and my husband for Thanksgiving, because the holidays are not canceled, you all. For Thanksgiving, we're actually doing a Zoom at 8 o'clock talking about healing through the holidays. So it's one of those things that can be those Band-Aid moments we talk about, the holidays. So healing through the holidays, so the Band-Aids don't continue to be ripped off. So that was at therelationshipservicestation.com. Join us for, it's a free event that will definitely bless your soul. So if you know somebody that you say they hadn't got over this grief yet, that's the conversation that they need to be on.
Wonderful, wonderful. Please post it in the comments on the Facebook page so everyone can check it out. Madeline, what do you have for us, my dear?
Well, I also want to thank you all so much. I have enjoyed every single one of you so much. And Sharifa, bless your heart.
Thank you.
I would like to emphasize the grounding. It does not have to hurt like that. It does not have to be like that. There is a process. And for the immediate, I have a 30-second mindset reset tool for you, and that'll be on my website at madelinewise.com, where there is a variety of mastering the mind exercises. If you sign up there and treat yourself to power breathing, that's the 30-second mindset reset. And there will be announcements on my forthcoming book, Getting to Great, 5-Step Strategy for Work and Life Based on Science and True Stories. And I have weekly blogs, so there are all kinds of goodies, and would love to hear from you.
We're going to hear from you at the New Year, New You Today teleconference.
You are indeed. I'm really looking forward to that.
I am as well. I am very excited. Nate, what do you think? You had a good time with us today?
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed it. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank all our guests that, you know, are on here with us. You can always check me out on Monday nights. Welcome to Skrill Town. It's Facebook Live too. It's at 7 p.m. Central Time. You can check it out on my page. One thing I would ask the listeners is, in order to believe in, in order for others to believe in you, you have to believe in yourself. That's one of the things I live by. If you don't believe in yourself, how do you expect anybody else to believe in you? I think that goes a long way with everybody. And then also invest in yourself. You know, it's all about investing time, money, energy, anything. You have to be able to invest in yourself and your life. Don't forget to check out the book, 15 Ways. It's on lulu.com. I'll put the website in the comments. And then I also have projects that are coming out through my management company. Street Music and Meditation is coming out on Christmas Day. So you can always follow my Facebook page for all that information. And like I said, I just want to thank everybody, for tuning in. And I appreciate the opportunity, Sharifa. Really.
You are so welcome. I appreciate you for being here. And you have to come back because I love when people give me terms I've never heard of. So Street Music and Meditation. Like to me, it's like over here and over here, but I guess you're bringing it here. So come back, talk to me about that. We'll get you back on the show. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show doesn't mean you are not important. We still love you. We still appreciate you. We still want your support. Please go ahead and share this show, whether you're watching it 2 years from now, 20 years from now, it doesn't really matter. The information we share today is still relevant. But please don't just watch the show. Don't just share the show. Support our guests. They're here today to help you, to share their stories for you. So please support them. Visit their websites, pick up a copy of their book, go to their websites, follow them on social media, send them a tweet, send them an inbox message. And when you send them that message, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to pick up your tickets to my New Year, New You 2-day teleconference on December 29th and 30th, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed weekend. Bye now.